Hello, and welcome to another edition of Maplewood Barn Radio Theater, brought to you with the kind assistance of KBIA. Today's story is based on a one-act play by Lawrence Langner called Another Way Out. When it was first published in 1916, it was considered racy and suitable for adult audiences only. The action takes place in Pomeroy Pendleton's apartment, where he is living with his girlfriend, Margaret Marshall, without the benefit of marriage. He is a writer of novels, and she is a sculptor, presently working on a statue of Apollo. The room flashes with wild colors, wallpaper, carpeting, paintings, all multi-hued. Breakfast has been set out already, and there is a vase of red flowers decorating the table. Mrs. Abbey, a benevolent-looking middle-aged woman, is arranging some dishes on the table. Mrs. Abbey speaks first.
Breakfast is ready, ma'am.
Oh, Pomeroy, Pommy dear, breakfast on the table.
I'll be there in a moment.
I thought you were going to stop smoking before breakfast.
My dear, I can't possibly stand the taste of toothpaste in my mouth all day.
Anything the matter, sir?
Dear, dear, my breakfast is quite spoiled again.
Spoiled, sir?
Look at those flowers, Mrs. Abbey. Not only are they quite out of harmony with the color scheme in this room, but they're positively red. And you know I have a perfect horror of the color red.
But you like them that color sometimes, sir. What can I do when you are so temperamental about it?
Temperamental? I should say bad-tempered.
Oh, no, ma'am. It isn't bad temper. I understand Mr. Pendleton. It's just another bad night he's had. That's what it is.
Mrs. Abbey, you appear to have an intimate knowledge of how I pass the nights. It is becoming quite embarrassing.
You mustn't mind an old woman like me, sir.
There is that confounded piano again.
And they always play the wedding march. There must be an old maid living there.
They're doing that for a reason.
What reason?
Their cook told me yesterday that her missus thinks if she keeps on playing the wedding march, perhaps it will give you and Mr. Pendleton the idea of getting married. She doesn't believe in couples living together like you and Mr. Pendleton.
No.
And I told her that you and Mr. Pendleton had been living together so long, it was my opinion you might just as well be married and done with it.
Your opinion is quite uncalled for, Mrs. Abbey.
Why shouldn't Mrs. Abbey give us her opinion? It may be valuable. Look at her experiences in matrimony.
In matrimony? And out of it, too.
But Mrs. Abbey has no right to discuss our affairs with other people's maids.
I'll be glad to quit if I don't suit the mistress.
There. Mistress again. How often have I asked you not to refer to me as the mistress?
No offense, ma'am.
You'd better see if there's any mail, Mrs. Abbey, and take those flowers away with you.
Very well, sir.
Oh, what an old-fashioned point of view Mrs. Abbey has, just because she's deserted three husbands. Pommy, why do you stoop so? You ought to take more exercise. One reason the Greeks were the greatest artists was because they cultivated the body as carefully as the mind.
Oh, hang the Greeks.
These are your letters, sir. And these are yours, ma'am.
Oh, how delightful! Tom Fontaine has asked us to a party at his studio next Friday.
Both of us?
Yes. Here, see for yourself. And Helen Marsden wants us for Saturday.
Both of us?
Yes. And here's one from Bobby Watson for Sunday.
Both of us?
Yes.
Really, Margaret, this is becoming exasperating. Here are four more invitations, I suppose, for both of us. People keep on inviting us out together, time after time, as though we were the most conventional married couple on God's earth.
Do you object to going out with me?
No, it isn't that, but we're having too much of a good thing, and I've come to the conclusion that it's your fault.
Oh, it's my fault. Of course you'd blame me. Why?
Because you have such an absurd habit of boasting to people about your devotion to me when we're out.
Oh, you surely don't expect me to quarrel with you in public.
It isn't necessarily to go to that extent. But when everybody believes that we're utterly, almost stupidly in love with one another, what can you expect?
You said once you never wanted me to suppress anything.
That was before we began living together.
Well, what could I have done?
Anything, just so we could have a little more freedom instead of being tied together the way we are. Never a moment when we're not together. Never a moment of freedom. Never a moment when we aren't viewed as the only couple whose love is so perfect that marriage degrades it. I put it to you, Margaret, if this is a free union, it is simply intolerable.
But aren't we living together so as to have more freedom? Think of what it might be if we were married.
Are we any better off with everybody treating us as though we were living together simply to prove a principle?
Well, aren't we? You said so yourself. Otherwise, how can we be a beautiful example to other people and to show them how to lead the pure natural lives of the Greeks?
Damn the Greeks. Why do you always throw those confounded Greeks in my face? We've got to look at it from our standpoint. The situation must come to an end.
What can we do?
It rests with you.
With me?
You can compromise yourself with somebody publicly. That'll put an end to all of this nonsense.
How will that end it?
It'll break down the morally sanctified atmosphere in which we're living. Then, perhaps, people will regard us as immoral and treat us like decent human beings again.
But I don't want to compromise myself.
If you believe in your own ideals, you must.
But why should I have to do it?
It will be so easy for you.
Well, why can't you be compromised? That would be better still.
I would find it a bore. You, unless my memory fails me, would enjoy it.
You needn't be cynical. For that matter, I don't know any eligible men.
What about Bob Lockwood?
But he's your best friend!
Exactly. No man ever really trusts his best friend. He'll probably compromise you without hesitation.
Yes, but I'm afraid he'd be too dangerous. Whom will you choose?
It's a matter of complete indifference to me.
Why not leave it to chance? Let it be the next interesting woman you meet.
That might be amusing, but there must be an age limit. And how about you?
Me? Why not the new model who is coming today to pose for my statue of Apollo?
Well, if he's anything like that, you ought to be able to create a sensation. Then perhaps we shall have some real freedom.
Pommy, do you still love me as much as you did?
How you sentimentalize. Do you think I'd be willing to enter into a flirtation with a strange woman if I didn't want to keep on living with you?
And we don't have to break up our little home, will we?
No, anything to save the home. My God, if any of my readers should hear me say that, to think that I, Pomeroy Pendleton, should be trying to save my own home. And yet, how characteristically paradoxical.
Give me a kiss.
I have some work to do. I must go.
A kiss!
Don't be silly, dear. I don't have time to play this morning. I've simply got to finish that last chapter.
There's a lady to see Mr. Pendleton.
Tell her to come in.
But Margaret...
Remember, the first woman you meet. Come along, Mrs. Abbey.
Good morning, Mr. Pendleton. I'm the Baroness de Moville.
Baroness de Moville? Ah, the fashion designer?
Not a fashion designer, Mr. Pendleton. I am an artist. An artist in modern attire. A woman is to me what a canvas is to a painter.
Excuse me for receiving you in my dressing gown.
I like to see men in their dressing gowns, and yours is very charming.
Do you like it? I designed it myself.
How few really creative artists there are.
You flatter me.
Not at all. You must know that I'm a great admirer of yours, Mr. Pendleton. I've read every one of your books. I feel I know you as an old friend.
That's very nice of you.
Mr. Pendleton, I have a mission in life. It is to make the American woman the best-dressed woman in the world. I came here today because I want you to help me.
But I have no ambitions in the fashion world.
Why should you have ambitions? Only the lower classes have ambitions. We artists have inspirations. I want to breathe into you the spirit of my great undertaking. Already I have opened my place in the best part of town. Already I have drawn my assistants from all parts of the world. Nothing is lacking to complete my plans. But you...
Me? Why me?
Are you not considered one of the foremost men of letters in America?
Yes.
Are you not an artist of taste and distinction?
I suppose so.
Are you not the only writer who has successfully portrayed the emotional side of American life?
Yes.
Exactly. That is why I have chosen you to write my advertisements.
But Baroness!
You're not going to say that it's too ordinary.
But you want me to write advertisements.
Please don't disappoint me.
But advertisements.
Yours would be wonderful. You may even evolve a new form of literature.
Yes, I suppose that's so. But one has a sense of pride.
Art comes before pride. Consider my feelings. An aristocrat engaging in commerce, and advertising, and other dreadful things, and all for the sake of art.
But you make money at it.
Only incidentally. Just as you, in writing my advertisements, would make, say, 10,000 or so sort of accident. But let's not talk about money. It's perfectly revolting, isn't it? Art is life, and I believe in life for art's sake. That's why I'm a success.
Indeed. How interesting. Please, go on.
When a woman comes to me for a gown, I don't measure her body. Why should I? I measure her mind. I find her proper rhythm. Everyone has a rhythm, you know. But I don't have to explain all this to you, Mr. Pendleton. You understand it intuitively. This heliotrope you are wearing shows me at once that you are in rhythm.
I'm not so sure that I am. What you say interests me. May I ask you a question?
Yes, but I may not answer it.
Why do you wear heliotrope the same shade as mine?
You mustn't ask me that.
I'm all curiosity.
Curiosity is dangerous.
Supposing I try to find out.
That may be even more dangerous.
I'm fond of that kind of danger.
Take care. I'm very fragile.
Isn't heliotrope in rhythm with the faint reflection of passion?
How brutal of you to have said it.
I, too, am in rhythm with heliotrope.
How glad I am. Thank God you've no desire to kiss my lips.
Only your fingertips. Your fingers are soft, pale waxen tapers.
Your kisses are breathing them into quivering flame.
Exquisite. Exquisite.
That was a moment.
We must have many such.
Many? That's too much.
We shall, dear lady.
How I adore your writings. They have made me realize the beauty of an ideal union. The love of one man for one woman at a time. Let us have such a union, you and me.
But I live in such a union already.
And only a moment ago you kissed me.
Well, what of it?
Don't you see what we've done? You are living in one of those wonderful unions you describe in your books. And I've let you kiss me. I've committed a sacrilege.
You're mistaken. It isn't a sacrilege. It's an opportunity.
How can you say that? You, whose words have inspired my deepest intimacies. No, I must go. I must go.
You don't understand. I exaggerate everything in my confounded books.
Please ask her to forgive me. Please tell her that I thought you were married. Otherwise, never, never would I have permitted you to kiss me.
What made you think I was married?
One often believes what one hopes.
And if I were?
I have no middle-class ideas on the subject.
You take it too seriously. Let me explain.
What is there to explain? Oxfiends has been complete. Why spoil it with an anticlimax?
Am I never to see you again?
Who knows? If your present union should end, and someday your soul needs someone.
Goodbye, long, pale fingers.
Before we get back to our story, here's a reminder about a Maplewood Barn project.
Before we continue with our story, let's take a moment to tell you about a way that you can help us at Maplewood Barn. Have you or a member of your family ever attended one of the shows or acted or helped out with a Maplewood performance? Well, we're researching a book about the Maplewood Barn community players to be published in a celebration of our new home and our 40th anniversary season. It will contain a lot of photos of past shows, costumes, and programs. Unfortunately, we lost a lot of our archives in the fire that destroyed the original historic barn a couple of years ago. If you have any memories or materials to share, we'd like your help. For details, check out our website. It's maplewoodbarn.com. And now, back to our story.
Did you get a good start with the scandal?
Not exactly. I may as well admit it was a failure, though through no fault of my own, of course. And now I simply must finish that last chapter.
You may clear the table, Mrs. Abbey.
Very well, ma'am.
Mrs. Abbey, have you worked for many people living together, like Mr. Pendleton and myself?
Oh, yes, ma'am. I've worked in nearly every house in the neighborhood.
Mr. Pendleton says I'm as domestic as any wife could be. Were there others like me?
most of them, ma'am, but some were regular hussies, not only living with their fellows, but living happily, too. That's what I call real immoral. Just a moment, ma'am. A young man wants to see you, ma'am.
Oh, that's the new model. I'll get my working apron.
You can come in.
Madam, I represent...
You can undress behind that screen.
Undress? Say, what's this? A Turkish bath?
Did you expect to have a private room all to yourself?
What am I to undress for?
The missus will be here in a minute.
Good night. I'm going.
What's the matter? Aren't you the missus' new model?
A model? You sure got the wrong number this time. I'm in the dictionary line, ma'am.
Well, of all the impudence, you just walked right in here.
Well, you asked me in, didn't you? Can't I see the missus just for a minute?
Very well. Here she is. And I advise you to remove that spearmint gum from your mouth if you want to sell any dictionaries in this house.
Where shall I put it?
You'd better swallow it.
I'm so glad to see you. Welcome.
But ma'am...
You may go, Mrs. Abby.
But ma'am...
You may go, Mrs. Abby. I'm so glad they sent you to see me. Won't you sit down?
Madam, I represent the Globe Advertising Publishing Sales Company, the largest publishers of dictionaries in the world.
Then you're not the new model?
No, ma'am.
What a pity. Never mind. Go on.
As I was saying, ma'am, I represent the Advertising Globe Publishing... I mean the Globe Advertising Sales Publishing Company, the largest publisher of dictionaries in the world. For some time past, we have felt there was a demand for a new dictionary, ma'am. One that would not only fill up a good deal of space on the bookshelf, making an attractive addition to the home, but also containing the most complete collection of words in the English language.
Please go on talking while I measure you. It's so interesting.
Statistics show that women of average education in America, madam, have command of but 1,500 words. This new dictionary, madam, will give you command of over 850,000.
So, you're a dealer in words. How perfectly romantic.
Most of these words, madam, are not used more than a dozen times a year, and all these words, to say nothing of the fact that the dictionary fills 5 inches in a bookshelf, make an attractive addition to the library. Being handsomely bound in half-cloth, all these are yours, ma'am, for the price of $100. Madam, opportunity knocks at the door only once, and this is your opportunity for only $100.
Yes, this is my opportunity. I'll buy the dictionary, and now, won't you tell me your name?
My name is Charles P.K. Fenton.
Mr. Fenton, would you mind doing me a favor?
Why, I guess not, ma'am.
I want you to take off your coat.
You're not trying to kid me, ma'am.
I just want to see your development. Do you mind?
Why, no, ma'am, if that's all you want.
Now, bring your arm up, tighten the muscles. Splendid! You must take lots of exercise, Mr. Fenton.
Oh, not me, ma'am. I never had time for exercise. I got that working in a freight yard.
Well, I suppose you think me rather peculiar, Mr. Fenton.
You said it, miss.
You see, I'm a sculptress. This is my work.
You made that? Gee, that's great. Just like those statues at the Metropolitan.
That center figure is Apollo, Mr. Fenton.
Oh, Apollo?
I was to engage a professional model for it, but I could never hope to get a professional as fine a type as you. Will you pose for it?
Me? That fellow there without any clothes?
Yes.
Well, I don't know. It's kind of chilly here.
Oh, if I draped you, it would spoil some of your lines. But I will if you like.
Now you're talking.
So you really come?
How about this evening?
Splendid. Sit down. Mr. Fenton, you've quite aroused my curiosity. Is your work interesting?
Well, I can't say it was until I started selling around this neighborhood.
Is it difficult?
Not if you've got personality, miss. That's the thing, personality. If a feller hasn't got personality, he can't sell goods, that's for sure.
Well, what do you mean by personality, Mr. Fenton?
Well, it's what sells the goods. I don't know how else to explain it exactly. We all know what personality means. It's what sells the goods.
I adore a strong, virile, masculine personality.
I don't quite get you, ma'am.
So many men lack the magnetic forcefulness, which I like so much in you.
I believe you are kidding me. Does this mean you like me?
That's a rather embarrassing question.
You must, or you wouldn't let me speak to you this way.
Never mind whether I like you. Tell me whether you like me.
Well, gee, I didn't get you at first. Sure I like you.
Then we're going to be good friends.
You bet we are. Say, you'll tell me your name, won't you?
Margaret Marshall.
Do you mind if I call you Margie?
Well, if you do, I must call you...
Charlie. Gee, I like the name of Margie. Some class to that.
I'm glad you like it.
And some class to you.
So you really like me?
You bet. Say, before I go, you've got to give me a kiss, Margie.
Well, I don't know. Aren't you rather rushing me?
Well, say, you are a kidder. Come here.
Oh, you have the true Greek spirit. If only Pommy would kiss me that way.
Pommy? Who's Pommy?
Pommy is the man I live with.
Your husband?
No, we just live together. We don't believe in marriage.
I thought there was something strange about all this. Does he live here?
Yes, he's in there now.
Good night. I'm going.
Oh, you're surely not going just on that account.
Isn't that enough?
Oh, please don't go. Listen, I can't suppress my feelings for you. I never do with anybody. I liked you the moment I saw you. I want you as a friend. A good friend. You can't go now, just when things are getting interesting.
Fair's fair, miss. If he's keeping you, you can't be taking up with me at the same time. That puts the finish on it.
But he doesn't keep me. I keep myself.
Wait a minute. You support yourself and live with him of your own free will? Then you've got no excuse for being immoral. It isn't like you had to make your living out of it. Goodbye.
But I can explain everything.
It's no use, miss. Even though I am a salesman, I've got a sense of honor. I sized you up as a married woman when I came in just now, or I never would have kissed you in the first place.
Oh, wait. Supposing I should want to buy some more dictionaries.
You've got my card, miss. The phone number's on it. 555-4253. Now, don't feel hurt, miss. You'll get over these weird ideas someday. And when you do, well, you've got my number. So long, kid.
My Apollo at 555-4253.
Did you get a good start with your scandal? No. Oh, it's no use. I'm convinced that we're in a hopeless muddle.
I heartily agree with you.
You've changed your mind very suddenly.
I have my reasons.
The fact is, Margaret, that as long as we live together, we're public figures, with everyone else as our jury.
But lots of people read your books and respect us.
The people that respect us are worse than the people that don't.
Oh, if they wouldn't always be bothering about our morals.
If we continue living together, we shall simply be giving up our freedom to prove that we are free.
I suppose we ought to separate.
I believe we should.
We'll have to give up the studio.
Yes.
It's taken a long time making this place home-like.
We've been very comfortable here.
I shall miss you at meals.
I shall have to start eating at clubs and restaurants again. No more good home cooking.
We're kind of used to each other, aren't we?
It isn't an easy matter to break up after 5 years.
And there are mighty few studios with as good a light as this. I don't want to separate if you don't.
But Margaret... There is that confounded piano again. Margaret, there is another way out.
Oh, you mean we ought to marry?
Yes, marry, and marry at once. That'll end this foolishness.
Let's do it right away and get it over with. I simply must finish my Apollo.
I'm going to buy you a new gown to get married in. A wedding present from Baroness de Mauville.
I don't know if I want a de Mauville gown.
Please let me. I want to give you something to symbolize our new life together.
Very well. And in return, I'll buy you a dictionary, so I won't have to keep on correcting your spelling.
All right, darling. I will see you at lunch.
Now, where did I put that card? There. Let's see. Yes. 555-4253. Yes, can I speak to Mr. Fenton? Well, Mrs. Abbey, what do you think? We're going to get married.
Well, bless my soul. You can take it from me, ma'am. You'll find that respectability pays.
Excuse me, Mrs. Abby. Hello, Charlie.
And so we see once again that marriage means many different things to different people. We hope you have enjoyed this presentation of Lawrence Langner's Another Way Out, presented by Maplewood Barn Radio Theater and KBIA. Our producer was Darren Helwidge, and the show was adapted for radio by Brad Buchanan. Our players were Lee Wilkins as Mrs. Abby, Rita Maloney as Margaret, Joe Bogue as Pomeroy, Melissa Buchanan as the Baroness de Moville, and David Black as Fenton. Thanks for listening, and we hope you will tune in again next week at the same time for another story from Maplewood Barn Radio Theater about a Maplewood Barn project.
Before we continue with our story, let's take a moment to tell you about a way that you can help us at Maplewood Barn. Have you or a member of your family ever attended one of the shows or acted or helped out with a Maplewood performance? Well, we're researching a book about the Maplewood Barn community players to be published in a celebration of our new home and our 40th anniversary season. It will contain a lot of photos of past shows, costumes, and programs. Unfortunately, we lost a lot of our archives in the fire that destroyed the original historic barn a couple of years ago. If you have any memories or materials to share, we'd like your help. For details, check out our website. It's maplewoodbarn.com. And now, back to our story.
Here's a warming winter thought. Plan now to rediscover the wonders of outdoor theater at Maplewood Barn this summer. A brand new barn has risen in Nifong Park to replace the one that burned down 2 years ago. And there will be a full season of theater under the stars to delight the whole family. This will be the 40th anniversary season for Maplewood Barn Community Theater, and we open on May 24th with the beloved musical Fiddler on the Roof. Then comes the British comedy How the Other Half Loves, followed by Shakespeare's Hamlet, and then the suspense classic Wait Until Dark. For details about auditions, the performances, and directions to Columbia's Nifong Park, consult the Maplewood website, www.maplewoodbarn.com. Join us this May at Maplewood Barn.